Good morning. Good morning. I was waiting for this thing to turn on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to PCC, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ. We're living out God's love. We're transforming community by and through the Holy Spirit. I got a couple announcements for us, but before that, I just want to slow down and realize that we're entering a new year. We got a new sermon series. Enjoy this new day. And as we round into 2025, we're going to gather together in worship like we have how many years?
65,
depending on how you look at it. No, I'm just kidding. 64, 65 years. We as a worshiping community have been gathering as God's local outposts, right? His kingdom. And this, we get to wipe the slate clean. The last couple days' session was trained on the way of the peacemaker. We were taught by third-party consultants how to be peacemakers. Kind of sounds like a ninja in the way of the peacemaker. Is anybody else with me? Everybody's awake, right?
Yeah.
Happy New Year, 2025. Okay, I know this is me speaking slowly and softly is unique, but everything's new, right? Maybe this year I wear all plaid suits or a bow tie, you know? Maybe this is the year of the bow tie. Who knows? I don't think so. But I am just very excited you're here. And the worship staff is very excited you're here. We have some things to celebrate. First, Josh and Anita got engaged on New Year's Eve. Anybody was here last Sunday, we knew before Anita, right? We were in the know. It was awesome. But we were praying for you, and know that PCC is in your corner, and we celebrate you and love. That's awesome. We also have some birthdays. I know today's Nora's birthday. Who else's birthday is it? Is it your birthday?
16th.
The 16th is your birthday. Okay.
Happy birthday.
I think we meet between now and then. Do we or do we not? Okay. We'll celebrate that when that happens. But we're glad each of you was born. And even if it's not your birthday, we're glad you're here. The covenant call is on its way, which brings me to my next announcement. We're transitioning. Nora, I think I've told everybody, Nora said, yeah, I'll be your assistant for 3 to 4 months. And 2 years and 8 months later, we have a new assistant. So Katie Scott has been learning the ropes. And we want to make sure there's a blurb about her. We want to make sure that she's up to date and all that stuff. So the covenant call is on its way. Be patient. For now, you're just going to have to ask people when their birthday is until the covenant call comes. Also, there's a correction that needs to be made in the announcements right here. The daytimers will resume, and we're going to be back in the fireside room. You ready for it, Michael? We're going to be back studying the Bible this Wednesday. Are you fired up? We meet in the fireside room, so it can contain our fire. We are not doing the lunch bunch at Newport Rib Company, or it's not being brought here. We're actually going to Simply Fish. Is that correct? So that's partially new assistant's fault. Partially, there's been lots and lots of conversation of where this thing's going to happen. But Simply Fish. We're going to Simply Fish. Jane Bates, would you let everyone in the room know who you are? If you want to go to lunch on Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. at Simply Fish this week, you have to tell her. Actually, tell her right now. No, I'm just kidding. We don't have to tell her right now. We tell her by the end of the day. You know, after the service, we also have LaVon and Sharon, thank you so much for providing the lunch that we're going to be enjoying. So after the service, make sure everybody sticks around and eat some fun food. Danny's back. The band's back. We get to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We have David Wheatley on the keys. He's our guest organist, and his assistant Barbara here is right here, and she handles all the details and the music and stuff like that. So a round of applause for Barbara, please. I am so excited that you're blowing the dust out of the pipes, and we get to worship with an organ. Lloyd, you happy? Okay. Life-changing. And I will give this announcement, and then we'll greet each other in the name of the Lord with the holy fist bump, because there's viruses and stuff going around. So when we greet each other, it's you, the holy fist bump. What Lloyd just said is they have Stubborn, which is a brand of root beer. Well, he's a root beer connoisseur.
Other sodas, too.
They have a really good cream soda as well. That's a very good cream soda. But that Simply Fish has Stubborn brand sodas on tap. So that's a selling point for Simply Fish. The food isn't bad. The food is very good. Can I get the fish there? I'm just messing. Everybody stand up and greet each other in the name of the Lord. And actually, if you're seated, actually, I'll seat everybody down because I got a couple of more announcements. And then we'll stand you up for the call to worship. How's that? That sounds like a plan. I want to make sure that everyone hears these announcements first. So as we quiet ourselves, enjoy this new day. I'm hoping that catches on as a slogan around here. Enjoy this new day. We have a clean slate. Obviously, we're going to be taking communion later in the service. And I just wanted to clarify, we take communion two ways. If you don't feel comfortable with intinction, and I'll explain what intinction is after this, we have the pods. So you can stay in your seat, and I will lead us through communion with pods. That's individually wrapped. And then after that, I will call Carol Applegate up here, and she will assist me in inviting people forward who wish to take communion via intinction, which means you'll break off a piece of the bread and you'll dip it into the cup, and you'll take the communion that way. That's called intinction. And by the way, it's our earliest form of communion. Early church often took via intinction. We also have a gluten-free option for those who are gluten-averse, okay. And then the second one, before I call us to worship, is after 12 years, I think it's 12 years, of serving as our sound tech, Phillip's resigning, at the end of this month. And so at the end of this month, we'll celebrate him and his ministry here. And you know, there's an article in the Covenant Call about why, but basically you can sum it up. He's been working a full-time job in this job and burning the candles at both ends, and he simply wants a Sabbath. And I can't think of a holier reason, right? But with that, I'm excited about his new chapter. This is him, you know. I'm excited. He could be the guy who cures cancer. You know, when he gets his Sabbath rest, this is him without a Sabbath. I'm honored to serve with people of the likes of you, Philip. I'm really proud that you're in my life. But yeah, round of applause. Let's stand. And I'm going to say, this is the new day that the Lord has made. And you are going to respond with, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the new day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the new day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
so good to be back with you. I got a text from Dusty, our drummer, yesterday, and he was like, I just cannot wait to be back playing again with the church. And so here we are. It's 2025. How's that possible? Wasn't the world supposed to end like 15 years ago or something? Yeah. We're going to do an older song that we haven't done in a lot of years, and we'll repeat the chorus here a couple times at the beginning so you get the hang of it. It's pretty simple. It's called, I Will Celebrate.
I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
Let's do that again.
I will celebrate. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
With my heart rejoicing with
I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
With my heart.
Sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song.
Again, here we go.
I will celebrate, sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. I will celebrate.
You have led me through the fire.
God is so good. Join me in our prayer of confession. We come today acknowledging our shortcomings and our sins. God, you have called us to love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Yet we often lack love for you and the world. We ignore the oppressed. We fail to see others as your children. We ask that you give us trust, knowing that you stand ready to catch us. Yet we become cautious and fearful, putting more energy into our worries than into trusting you. Lord, you show us unending patience, yet we often are so impatient. Daily we receive your grace and forgiveness, yet our minds are quick to judge our family, our friends, and our neighbors. As we live into this new year, help us to continually reflect your light and seek to be vessels of your peace and love and kindness. Lord, pour into us the power of your Holy Spirit so that we might love you and love others with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who is always with us. Amen. Children of God, our Lord is merciful and mighty. Let us stand and sing praises to our holy and forgiving Lord.
amen. David, yes. Bringing the heat. You know, everybody looked at me. We're going to stay standing? That's crazy. I switched it up because we got David. We got David in the house, and I wanted to sing Holy, Holy, Holy right before we talk about this new day and how this long journey is such a long journey. And it's crucial as we enjoy this new day, as we turn this page and enter 2025, that we have worship. That we have worship as our foundation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Enjoy this new day. It's going to be a sermon series, and kind of it's tips on how to enjoy this new day, how to step into our new creationness. And I think, I want to start with the acknowledgement. With this new day, with a disclaimer. This is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Everyone knows that, right? Okay, but we often forget it. I was watching, there's a commercial out there that talks about how you buy this watch and it'll keep you from quitting your New Year's resolution. I guess there's a quit day. I think it's January 9th. Isn't that crazy? That it, like 90% of all New Year's resolutions end January 9th. That's nuts, right? That's less than 10. Anyway, that's stating the obvious. Who in here has had a New Year's resolution ever in your life? Good. Have you fulfilled them? No? I've only had one New Year's resolution my entire life, and I did fulfill it. And it's because it was simple. In 1999, I listened to Prince's 1999 every day. Just the song Prince. It was just push play sometime during the day. I listened to that song. That's my only New Year's resolution. I don't know. It's probably more of a confession than something to brag about. But to do this, to speak this disclaimer, I'm using the author of Hebrews. I say the author of Hebrews is because we don't know who it was. It was canonized under the assumption that Paul was the author of Hebrews, but Paul didn't sign it, and he always signs his stuff. And it's so unlike Paul, actually, in so many ways. And we can have a discussion offline if you want, because I think it's really interesting to think about who God used to write this letter. And it's such a beautiful letter. I've said before that most of the Bible is written at a sixth grade reading level. John is written at a third grade reading level. The Gospel of John. It's simple, profound. Jesus healed everybody. Yeah, Jesus paid for our sins. The author of Hebrew writes at a university level. His Greek is off the chart, or his or her, because there's some people that think it's a woman. The author's Greek is off the charts. And you see this in the text that we're going to study and in our disclaimer this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son or daughter? It says, "My son or daughter, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son or daughter. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a child, as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. Amen?
Amen.
But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is the word of the Lord. There's a lot here. It's Communion Sunday. This could be a 3-hour thing, but I will do my best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, I pray that you would preach through me. May my words be quickly forgotten. May your words change us from the inside out like only you and your words can. And all God's people said, and I already said this is the word of the Lord, right? Perfect. Notice this starts with therefore. Chuck Swindoll teaches, whenever you see a therefore, what you ask for, what do you ask? What's the therefore, right? And the previous chapter is Hebrews chapter 11, and it's known as the Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame, but faith. I got a homework assignment. If you ever have some spare time, and I know a couple of you are retired and you do, get in your car, drive up to Los Angeles to Our Lady, City of Angels, the cathedral that's up there, the Catholic cathedral, $230 million building. Sit in the sanctuary, be surrounded by the larger-than-life tapestries, and read this verse. We are surrounded. Who are we surrounded by? A great cloud of witnesses. Who are you surrounded by? Who did you receive your faith from? Elizabeth Klaus? We're surrounded. I don't think he's talking metaphorically. I think he thinks spiritually. This is a smart person that's writing this letter. And he's saying, before this disclaimer of this is a marathon, cling to the truth. Therefore, be reminded, you're not alone. You're not. It's both humbling and empowering, right? I can hear my grandma Hazel. I'm glad you cut your hair. You look like a big fat girl. Don't get too big for your britches. You know? Some of these clouds are, they shoot it straight, right? But also, I hear my grandfather, Warren. It's okay. It's okay that you broke that. It's just a thing. You're what's important. Remember, in this marathon, this author is saying, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And then he addresses heart issues. In this marathon, he gives us things that transform our heart, that give us a heart transplant. And then he ends the text with, therefore. So there's a therefore right at the beginning, and we're remembering that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, and then he gives us some heart stuff, and then he ends with, therefore. And what's he say right there? With all these things in your mind and in your heart, strengthen your arms. How do you strengthen your arms? By doing what I just told you. And we're going to go through those in a second. I'm giving you a frame, okay? He starts with a therefore, ends with a therefore. And the challenge is, from here on out, we're going to leave this building this morning, and we're going to strengthen our arms. And what else? We're going to straighten the path. Notice, we straighten the path for who? For Jesus to walk with us, for it's an individual straightening of a path, so it's easier on us, but it's also so that Carol doesn't stumble. I straighten my path so Carol doesn't stumble. It's the AA sponsor thing, once again. Something about me keeping someone sober keeps me sober. Something about me teaching somebody how to follow Jesus Christ helps me follow Jesus Christ. Something about me making it so their path is easier makes my path easier. Isn't this a smart author, right? God's word's ridiculously good right here. We camp out here all night long, but we don't have the time. I will just skip across the top to things that we need to strengthen our hearts. How do we strengthen our arms? How do we make path straight so we can walk on them and our friends and brothers and sisters can walk on them? What can we do? First, you throw off the stuff that drags you down. I got stories. I won't tell any just because we don't have time. I'll tell part of one. I went from Tuolumne Meadows to Half Dome. This is back when I was skinny and a hiker. And I was with an ex-Marine. Like he had served in Marines, and he had gotten out, and he was in his late 20s, early 30s. And he was co-leading the trip with me and my friend Larry. And we got to Half Dome, and we put on day packs. And he, without my knowledge, put a bunch of rocks in my day pack. And he said, let's race up. And so I'm racing. And I was quite fit at this point because I was a cross-country runner. I was a distance runner. And so I had huge lungs and skinny legs, no weight to pull up the hill other than the rocks in my backpack. So I run through the switchbacks, and then I get to the part. Have you been to Half Dome? There's a back part where there's like this cable, and it just doesn't seem safe, people. I don't know how it's legal still, but you don't belay on or nothing. You just climb up this cable, and it kind of is a ladder thing. But anyway, right as I'm about to do that, I'm just buckled over going, this altitude's really got me. And his name was Mike, and Mike goes, dude, I got to tell you something. Take off your day pack. And I'm like, you take off your day pack. And then he goes, no, there's rocks in your day pack. And I take off my day pack, and there's just a bunch of rocks. And I find out he started with a couple, and then every time we stopped, I would like he would sometimes slip them in. So I had like 20 rocks in this thing. Anyway, throw off your day packs. Throw off the stuff that's dragging you down. Throw it off. It may be a relationship. It may be a worry. It may be an idol, something that's replaced God in what you're living for. It may be fill in the blank. Drop it. Author says that's step one of the heart. You got to empty it before anything can be poured in. You got to get rid of that stuff that drags you down. And then he says what? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. When I think of that old famous quote that Coach Lombardi. Everybody, I think I've told this story maybe a million times, maybe 100 times. Lombardi's team's down, going into the halftime, goes into the locker room. And he says, I don't want a single player to say a word. And he holds up a football and he says, this is a football. And they stare at it during the whole time of the halftime. And at the end of it, it's just quiet. Everybody's staring at this fifth ball, puts it away and says, go and win the game. And they go and win the game. Author of Hebrews, this is Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on him. If you want homework on how to do that, read Matthew 5 through 7, Sermon on the Mount. It's his Independence Day. It's his Magna Carta. It's the speech of all speeches of Jesus Christ. It's all about heart transplant, and it's all about making him the king of your life. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. What's the next verb? Consider. Consider him. And I'll read that text as our preparation for the table. What's his next thing? As we're strengthening our arms and realizing this is a long race, and as we're clearing out the path for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters, these are things that are, we're throwing things off. We're focusing on Jesus Christ. We're considering him in the cross. And then we're considering him as the ultimate sufferer. Did I tell you the outbeard your story? I think I did. My sister-in-law's wedding. There were quite a few alcoholic beverages consumed by most, not myself. And this slightly inebriated man comes up to me, and he's about 6'7", and I'm about 6'3", so I'm still looking up at him. He gets straight in my face, just out of the blue. I wasn't the officiant. I wasn't anything. I was just there. He stands, and he gets in my face, and his beard was longer. His beard was about Steve Atkins' length. It was a Steve Atkins-length beard. And he goes, I outbeard you. I was like, okay. But thankfully, my wife's cousin, Eric, I don't think the last time he trimmed his beard, maybe he was 7 years old. He's got this ZZ Top beard down to his knee. And he goes, but that guy outbeards everybody. Author of Hebrews steps in each of our faces and says, Jesus Christ, he outsuffers you. Until you've worried so much that there's blood coming out of your pores, until you've been unlawfully and unjustly nailed to a tree, your sufferings are minimized. The author of Hebrews says, put that in your mind, in your heart, as you remember that this is a long, long race. And then he says, the author says, and have you not forgotten? You're his children. You're his children. Every ounce of pain will not be wasted. Every teardrop that comes out of your eye will be collected and learned, used to teach you how to be holier. So therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, by your Spirit, we throw off the stuff that easily entangles us today, this new day. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we fix our eyes on Jesus the Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We consider him. We consider him when it's rough. We cling to the fact that he suffered more than us, and he meets us in our deepest, deepest valleys. Holy Spirit, whisper those truths in those dark, dark times. He is our good, good Father. He has a plan. God knows what he's doing. Transform our sufferings and our disciplines. In 2025, that we might be holier this year than any year before. May our arms of faith, may our arms of walking and following after Jesus be strong. And may we clear our paths, not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, that we might learn from you that the way forward is humility and endurance. And all God's children said, as we continue in worship, this is our first offering of the year. I just thought of Doc Milton. He was here in December leading our choir. He's leading his choir, the CCC choir. And when he was the worship director over at St. Andrew's, he implemented a habit. And he took the scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. And he said, from here on out, let us as a congregation clap. Clap in joy as we head into offering. What does everybody think? If you're not going to clap, at least smile, okay? Okay? And I know, but for some of us, this is a sad day. It's hard. We're going into a new year, and we're missing loved ones, or we're struggling with loved ones. And by no means do I want to say slap a smile on if you're in that space. I want to give you permission to not clap. I want to give you permission to receive. You need a year of God pouring into you his joy. And lean on us. Lean to the person near right or left. So today's offerings, tithes, and gifts are now received. A song right here to prepare our hearts and get close to the table, but I switched that out for holy, holy, holy. Are you okay with that? And as we prepare the table, prepare our hearts to commune with one another, first I'll go over the details. We'll be taking communion two ways. If you want to remain seated, we have pods, and if you need a pod, just raise your hand. Maybe somebody, one of our deacons, can get you one. You want this one, Mary? Okay, I got two. That's perfect. And then I'm going to have somebody help her probably open it, right?
I can.
Okay, why don't you sit next to her and you take that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one way we're going to do it. This is family, right?
Yep.
Right? And the other way we're going to do it is via intinction. And like I said earlier, we have a gluten-free option, and then we have your regular bread right there, and then we got your cup. And then after we do the pod communion, we will do the intinction communion, which I'll invite people to come forward, take a piece of the bread, dip it in the cup, and return to your seats. So that's the detail part. As the for the preparing of our hearts, I want to look back at our text. And I want to read this section. And as we enter 2025, it's interesting because tomorrow's Epiphany. Do you realize that? That's why we still have Advent candles here, remember? We got hope. I remember pink is joy, love, faith in Christ. And so we still have these visual reminders of his first arrival. And what was that first arrival about? It was about the cross. And was about what our author talks about in verses 2 and 3. Our author says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We're gathering around the table for the first time. We're considering that Jesus Christ endured such opposition for me, for you. This is all in the context. This is a long race. As a distance runner, there are walls in distances. You experience one at 7. Some people experience one at 9, another one at mile 13, another one at mile 17, and some people at 19 again, and then 23. If you're doing a marathon, these are these walls. And when the author is talking about our faith being an endurance race, what do we do when we hit the walls as we walk into 25 and we are... Actually, some of you are being hit with walls as we enter right now. It's rough. The waters are high. What do? You consider this. You consider that on the night that Christ was betrayed, he gathered around the table for the Passover meal and he said, I'm transforming this meal for anyone and everyone who admits they need. This isn't my table. This isn't PCC's table. This isn't a Presbyterian table. This is Jesus Christ's table. And it's welcome to anyone who needs and is willing to confess they need. So we gather around the table, and the bread used to symbolize getting out of Egypt so fast that they couldn't wait for the bread to rise when they were freed from slaves. But Jesus says, I'm making a new covenant with my new people, these new people that need. This is no longer that unleavened bread. This is my body broken for you. And after that, he lifted up the cup. He said, this used to be the blood over the doorposts, so that the angel of death would spare the lives of the firstborns of the Jewish people. Jesus said, this is a new covenant with my new people. This is my blood shed for you. And then Paul later adds the words to the church in Corinth. As long as followers of Jesus, that's you and me, brothers and sisters, as long as people in need of forgiveness, grace, and mercy, of strength, wisdom, love, hope. As long as people gather around this table and eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We hand him our sins. He hands us his righteousness. Martin Luther labeled that the great exchange. We also proclaim, according to Paul, that he's coming back. There's going to be a second advent. There's going to be a second arrival where there will be no more suffering. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more sorrow or grief. Hallelujah. Joy, endless joy. Maybe the Catholics got it right. They call it Eucharist. What does that mean? Give thanks. Give thanks. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, I come to you once again considering your Son, Jesus the Christ, who endured such opposition. We do it so we don't lose heart. And we do it so we don't grow weary. Fill us with your Spirit. Forgive us. And help us walk with strong knees and strong arms. And all God's children said. So first, the pod. Peel back the top. Uh-oh. Houston, we got a problem. This is a waferless pod. I'm gonna take a piece of bread and pretend it's a wafer. So if you guys opened your pod, there's a wafer on top. Body of Christ broken for you. The cup of Christ, the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Drink all. Now I'm going to ask my sister Carol Applegate to join me up front. please, first of all, how does that feel? Loved, restored, centered. My wife taught me this thing that her therapist taught her back in the day. When things get tumultuous, she'll go like this. And just to remind herself of there's a core there. And the core there is Jesus the Christ, right? And I feel like it's a reset button. As we go in, you remember City Slickers? Anybody seen City Slickers? Okay, do you remember that? We get a do-over. Do you remember we get a do-over? Do you remember you used to, in elementary school, you'd play a game and you'd mess up and you mess up and you'd say, you get a do-over and we get to try again. 2025. Enjoy this new day. Put on Christ this new day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit. We pause and we say the names out loud of the people in our lives that are suffering. Let me hear you, family of God, PCC. Please say a name of a person you know that's struggling right now. I lift up Lou. I lift up my brother and sister, Gary and Monica, as they mourn the loss of their uncle. I lift up Lisa. Kay and Keith, Kathy, Coslin, as they miss Buzz. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we, in making the path straight for our brothers and sisters, would also lower ourselves to be used by you to meet those that are in the valley. We are your people. Help us be your people, Lord. Help us be your joy, your hope, your refuge. We lift up our country. We lift up all the senseless hate acts. New Orleans. We confess we're confused. We're confused sometimes by your plan, but we admit and cling to faith that you are in control and you have a plan. Teach us. Teach us and heal. Heal our land. Heal our people. And as we set out this new day, we continue to plead with you. We've thrown off our things. Help us to not pick them back up. Keep our gaze set upon you and you alone, not the distractions. Hold our attention that we might consider you every day this year. Give us hope in your faith, in your love, and your joy. And all God's people said, and this is going to be cool. I have a confession. I am very excited right now. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer, right? Are you going to play it on the piano? Okay, he's playing it on the piano. He's going to challenge himself and play with one hand. Just kidding. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer. And Danny's back to sing it. Yeah, I love this. I just like this moment. Welcome to this new day. And as we enter into this new day, don't forget that immediately afterwards we have in the fellowship hall a celebration of sorts. We continue in community and we break bread even more together. And then next week we're ordaining our new elders and deacons. And at the end of the month we have a congregational meeting and we're celebrating Philip and we're actually celebrating Nora Anderson in her service for 2.5 years longer than she signed up for. Right now, please receive the benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds today, tomorrow, all of 2025, and forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.